is Malcolm Ross of Joseph K. You're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network in sports. There are updates. And updates. There are numbers. And numbers. There are sorrows. In sorrow, there is redemption. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news. This is the network.
Wave Farms WGXE needs your financial support. In these extraordinary and unprecedented times, we know there are many worthy organizations in need. We hope that you consider Wave Farm among them. If you value WGXE and want to keep it a part of your daily life, we ask that you make a tax-deductible contribution to keep local and adventurous content freely available on the Upper Hudson Valley radio dial. Please visit WGXC.org, click donate, and become a monthly sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. Thank you so much for keeping independent voices and sounds on your radio dial.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jen Crawford of Germantown, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC local news for Wednesday, August 12th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. The vote and or unanimous decision rendered by the Catskill Village Board last month on the question of a Black Lives Matter mural did not occur at a validly held open meeting, according to the State Committee on Open Government. In an August 4th email response to a request from WGXC-FM, the committee opined that taking action on a matter of public concern at a time or in a way outside of a valid public meeting is, quote, inconsistent with the law. If a series of email communications among members of a village board involves action taken by the board, we would agree that a meeting would effectively have been held in contravention of the open meetings law, unquote. In a June 30th statement posted on the Village of Catskill Facebook page, the board announced it was rejecting a community request to paint a Black Lives Matter mural on Main Street in the village. According to the statement, quote, "After careful and thoughtful deliberation, our Board of Trustees has decided that the proposed mural on our Main Street should take the form of a banner," unquote. The post went on to enumerate multiple reasons for the decision and closed with, quote, "Thank you, Vincent Seeley and the Village of Catskill Board of Trustees, Joe Kozlowski, Natasha Law, Peter Grassi, Greg Smith," unquote. However, there is no record of a vote having been taken, and accounts of what occurred are contradictory. Shoshana Belay, the executive director of the Committee on Open Government, spoke to WGXC about the issue.
The committee has had occasion in the past to issue an opinion that said a series of email communications among members of a board involving action taken by the board, that meeting would be in contravention of the open meetings law. So query whether that decision was properly taken. That would be something for a court to determine. But it generally is the rule that you can't take an email vote or a majority of decision. I think one of the facts you had given me was that the decision was unanimous, which, you know, I'm gathering means that a quorum of the members who were participating in this email string agreed the action and took a decision on the series of email communications, and then I guess reported on their decision by issuing some public statement about it.
Seeley originally said there was a vote. The matter was discussed at length and the decision was unanimous. Lal denied there was ever an actual vote, saying the decision was more of a recommendation. Asked to comment about the Committee for Open Government's feedback this week, Seeley offered a different story in an August 10th email. Quote, "We did not take a vote over email. Why is this so confusing? We made a recommendation for the banner. Stop trying to make this something it is not. For this type of action, there did not need to be a vote," unquote, he wrote. Asked to confirm that there was no discussion amongst the trustees about the request either individually or as a group during the last week of July, Seeley did not answer. Adding to the confusion, there's no official record to rely upon. Board meeting minutes have not been published at the villageofcatskill.net website since last March. Asked if the village plans to publish the missing minutes or to make the meeting recordings available to the public sometime soon, Seeley was likewise mum. Joe Sexton and Joaquin Sapien report at ProPublica that Columbia County officials say a nursing home in Valencia sent 18 residents with coronavirus to die at hospitals to cover up their own mortality statistics. Officials from the Grand Rehabilitation and Nursing at Barnwell deny the allegations. A nurse with the Columbia County Health Department first noticed the 18 deaths over 5 weeks, mostly in May. The deaths mostly occurred at the Albany Medical Center and Columbia Memorial Hospital in Hudson. Quote, "For me," unquote, said Jack Mabb, the Columbia County Health Director, quote, "it appeared they were sending people to the hospital so they wouldn't die in the facility," unquote. Mabb said New York's change in the tabulation of nursing home deaths this spring could have incentivized the behavior. Currently, many Republicans and Democrats in Albany are calling for an independent investigation of what happened with nursing homes and coronavirus patients this spring, and Governor Andrew Cuomo's policies around nursing homes. More than 6,500 nursing home residents died from COVID-19 this year, about 6% of the state's nursing home population. Quote, "There are very few legitimate reasons for a nursing home to send seriously ill residents with do not resuscitate orders to a hospital unless there is a real chance that their conditions could be improved," unquote, Mabb said. Quote, "We flagged it for the state. We told the Department of Health we thought something big was going on," unquote. In May, Kinderhook Town Supervisor Patsy Leader asked the state to investigate Barnwell sending dying residents to hospitals. Bruce Gedrin, a vice president of the company that operates the Barnwell Nursing Home and 15 others, said that residents only would have been sent if they needed care that the home could not provide. Mabb said he had only received 2 death notifications from the Barnwell home, while the state health department reports online that 12 people died at the Valencia facility. Mabb says he counts 18 deaths of Barnwell residents at hospitals and that he does not trust information coming from either the state or officials at Barnwell. Read more about this story at ProPublica. Brittany Balker reports for the Boston Globe that while New York's latest COVID-19 numbers remain low, across the border in Massachusetts, coronavirus is spreading. Governor Charlie Baker announced as of August 11th new restrictions to slow the spread. Now face masks are required under the threat of a fine for any gathering of more than 10 over the age of 2 in any public or private space. Alcoholic beverages can only be served at restaurants if sold with food prepared on site. That means pretzels or chips don't count. Violations of the new regulations could mean violators are fined up to $500 per violation, or restaurants could receive a cease and desist order. Officials in Massachusetts reported August 11th that the percentage of COVID-19 tests coming back positive is up slightly to 1.9%, with 296 cases and 10 new deaths. Read more about this story in the Boston Globe. And the Riverkeeper Environmental Group reported on August 11th that the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation denied both the Air State Facility and Solid Waste Management Permit applications submitted by Rensselaer Resource Recovery, LLC, a subsidiary of Bio High Tech Global. The company wanted to put a waste processing facility on a capped toxic waste site next to the Hudson River in the city of Rensselaer in Rensselaer County. The plant, on the site of a former Bass chemical plant, would have taken in municipal waste, extracted all recyclable materials, and then trucked the solid recovered fuel to cement plants and incinerated it as a replacement for coal or other fuels. Local environmental activists speculated that the Lafarge Holcim plant in Ravenna would have been a facility burning the fuel, but the Albany County Legislature voted August 10th for a clean air law that would not allow this sort of burning. Quote, DEC got this one right, and Riverkeeper appreciates the time and care they put into reviewing the applications and for their well-thought-out reasons for denying these permits, unquote, Paul Galay, Riverkeeper president, said. This has been the WGXC Local News. Go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, August 12th. We've got hot and more hot on the way. 70 degrees starts out as the day's hors d'oeuvres. A steady climb to 90 at 3 p.m. cooks the entree to a steamy well done. Sprinkles of rain about 6 p.m. kick off dessert, which is comfy temperatures coming back after midnight. Lows reaching 65 at 6 a.m., also known as dawn tomorrow. Tomorrow looks totally dry with a high of 89. Friday, still hot. Saturday, guess what? More heat. Stock up on the bottled water if you're out working or playing. Salt intake is important too for those, especially if you are sweating a lot. Don't forget about those pets and little ones and anyone else that may be sensitive or need help. Pollen levels are in medium-high territory with a tiny dip expected for tomorrow. But what do you care? You'll be inside worshiping the air conditioner just like everybody else. The next high tides will be at 9:50 a.m. and at 10:07 p.m. The next low tides will be at 4:15 p.m. and tomorrow at 5:28 a.m. Water temperature will be 81 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:39 p.m.